Brady Bunch. And the most infamous of all deals, Marsha's broken nose right before prom. Unreal. I watched that show. Anybody else watch that show a lot? Oh, wow. Yeah, the Brady Bunch. Some of them are still around. Their stories are still around. I've got my own in my own home that are still around. And those stories are just like the ones in my home. Welcome today. It is a beautiful day out. It is a nice, warm, sunny Catalina day. Boy, do we have a lot to deal with, and boy, do we have a lot going on in our town. I want to say welcome if you're visiting, and if you're listening online, welcome to you too. My name is Pastor Andrew. This is our 10:30 service, and we have had so much going on, especially my family. I also have a big thank you to everyone that put forth such an effort for that wedding last week on behalf of my family and my daughter. Now Maddie Leon, and she pulled into her home just outside of Franklin, Tennessee, just a couple days ago, where she's doing life there, and she sends you her best. Just want to say thank you. This church came together, and it was so fun having family up on the mountain, and we really appreciate it. You know, when I watch videos like this and I see them, there's a reason I watch them, because I can't play the ones from my own home. I just can't do it. But the camera's never rolling when I want it to. You know what I'm saying? And all of us in here are in pain, just like Marsha. In life, a lot of times we do a good job putting up a mask and cruising through life until you get the opportunity to share your life or get to know another person. You always think that everybody has it better than you. Everybody has it better than you. And then I watch the Brady Bunch. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what's happening in my family. Or another show, you sit there and go, that's my family, totally. And I realize we're just like everybody else. Pain is everywhere. We've been talking about this. And one of the elements of pain that we're talking about today is relational pain. Getting into the relationship specifically, and all of a sudden things change a little bit. And you can definitely see it in family dynamics or blended families that come together. How is it that other people have hurt you and you hurt other people? From an early age, when you're hanging around with a brother or sister, you're always picking on one another. Anyone have an older brother or sister and you just remember this deal? Yeah, we've had them in the backseat of our car. As a father of four kids, when they were young, they were at their prime category of just whacking each other constantly. There was something to pick up in sword fight, and there was always a brutal battle. Maddie wanted to shoot hoops in this little teeny Fisher-Price hoop, and my son comes along and has to just dominate the game and put her down. And I remember these little touching deals, like, he's touching me. No, I'm not. While they do it, you know what I'm saying? Anyone remember that? He's touching me in the back of the car. And it was always the kid that was the most, the one that was going to get in trouble the most, that had to sit behind the driver, behind mom or dad, while you were doing the backstroke thing, right, trying to get him. I remember it, man. I remember. I have two older brothers, and I was that kid. Here's a couple of pictures of our accomplices in crime, what the kids looked like when they were going at it. No pics today? Nothing's working on the pics. All right. Well, thank goodness, Grace, you survived that one. Actually, she's not in that one. And I had another picture in regards to when they fall asleep in the back of the car and all their heads are kind of going to the same side. That was a beautiful moment for mom and dad. We go through this all the time, though. Asking for forgiveness, forgiving somebody else, it's not natural, but it's necessary. This is something I've had to practice in the last 2 years. Just a lot of pain in ministry. People bring things a lot to church, and a lot of times they bring it to email or even a phone call, and they have all these issues, and you offer some counsel from what the Word of God has to say, it's not always received well. It's not always received well. And unfortunately, there's something that forms there, some kind of resentment or root of bitterness. And yet, what it is, quite honestly, if you break it down layer upon layer, it's, I don't like what God's Word has to say about it. I really don't. And the fact that you delivered the message, you can just get out of my way. It's painful. And sometimes that happens. And sometimes I remember my dad used to have to pull the car over at times. The fights would be so bad in the back seat, he'd have to pull the car over. Sometimes he threw our drinks out the window he just bought from 7-Eleven. It just got bad in the car. And I mean, it was scary. And in this series, we've been doing it on pain. We've unearthed a lot of pain in this room. I've gone through stuff with people, almost a transferal. I felt stuff that they felt as they shared stories. Some people don't even want to be here, but they force themselves to come. The pain is so obvious in some of the lives in this room. That's where this series called I Can't Fix This has come. God started with my own heart. He started with my own journey. And then things started to progress as other journeys jumped in. And week one, we talked about pain. We kind of used this example that we carry this deal of pain with us all the time when we're seeing people. And we're at the boat, we're waiting in line, and hey, how you doing? Or even with our golf clubs, we're out on the green out there, or we're in Vons, we're pushing our shopping cart around, and we make pain look like it fits in our life somewhere. In fact, sometimes we can make it look really cool, like this awesome 13-inch Mitsubishi right here, picture in picture, you know? But when everybody leaves and all said and done and the boat has left and we're alone, we're lugging this thing around and literally it is encompassing our life and it's heavy and it doesn't look cool anymore. And we talked about how at parties, it looks great to have our pain with us in our parties. But when the party's over and we're hugging the porcelain throne and nobody's around and we puked enough, it's just one addiction, one medicated thing after another. Week one was powerful. We realize we have pain. But here's the deal. We also realized that we can't fix it. Because if we could have, what? We would have. So then we went into week two, understanding we need to soften our heart. Because if we're going to stay hard-hearted, we're going to just keep carrying this around. And to soften our heart means we were opening ourselves up to someone who can fix it. And that is God. Soften and open. I know He exists and that I matter to Him. And maybe He wants to heal some of this pain in my life. Maybe I just need to listen to that and open it up. Of course He wants to heal the pain in your life. But you're opening up. You're softening to it. Week three was flowing with Him. Literally going the direction He says to go. I don't know how quickly I can get rid of my pain. But over time, it'll lighten up. And I'll start getting out of the driver's seat. And I'll call shotgun and let you have the driver's seat. I'll turn my life over to you. You're in control. And some of you did that. In fact, the response was amazing. Two people received Christ. And a dozen others said, I need a small group. I really seriously am so busy that my small group meets without me often. In fact, I barely check in with them once every 3 months. I'm not known, I'm not heard, and I'm not cared for. Dangerous place to be. And some of you did that. Some of you have already done that. Some of you haven't. And if you haven't, you need to deal with your pain. And quite honestly, you have to deal with it on your own. If you're outside of those things I mentioned that are there for your help. The fourth week clearly was one that got me between the eyes, and it started with my own heart. Looking under the hood, literally starting with what had to end up with confession. But being honest, confession comes from being totally honest. We honestly looked at our lives and said, what are the character defects in my life? What's broken in me? Andrew, what's broken in you? Why do I act this way? Why do I resent? What's going on? And you confess that. And then last week, my good friend John brought the good word that God is there. And is He a means to an end or the end itself? And he said, when you're facing a dead end, when you're living your life the world's way, you turn around and change that and you embrace God's way. You say, God, all these things I've listed here in week four, would you now begin to change them in my life and start to direct me in new steps? And really practical stuff was brought out. He shared his notes with me. It's a brilliant message from the Lord, and God used him as a vessel. John, thanks for last week. And then week five leads right into today. And quite honestly, we're talking about how this has to do with other people at this point. It's all about forgiveness. Apologize. No. Really apologize. Really apologize. I will offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and I'll offer forgiveness for any wrong that I've done to others. So on the journey you're on to try to get healing from some of this pain, there's a hurdle in front of you. You can't get around it. It's huge. In fact, the hurdle itself has got to be pursued. You got to go through it. You got to get through it. And my son just recently left. He was the last one in the wedding party. We had a day and a half together, and he talked about his struggles in ministry. And as a young man, young married man, and all these things happening to him, and just the hurdles that await him, where he's at specifically. We dealt with them together. I think that's how a father and son should do things. They were his burdens, but he brought them to me to chat about. And we've been looking at this thing in Matthew 5. And when you have an issue and I have an issue, and I take this to Scripture, the Beatitudes are just loaded. And they come across and they say, basically, it's a famous sermon series where Jesus says, here are some really quick things about happiness. The word is translated blessed, which means happiness. And this whole series, happy are those who work for peace. God blesses the peacemaker. This is the culmination. We come together to see, what does God want to do? He wants you to forgive. He wants you to be light. And he wants you to have peace with everyone else. Even Paul reminds us, if it be at all possible, be at peace with all men. Why would Jesus say that? Some of you in here think Jesus was a little namsy-pamsy guy. Maybe you don't understand his life and who he really was. There is a powerful, powerful God who showed himself in the man. And for 33 years he walked this planet. And you don't understand that God became flesh in the form of Jesus. Total, radical, great verse. Jesus said, you've heard that the law of Moses and what we now know as the Old Testament, okay? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Then Jesus comes along with these radical statements. But I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Why would Jesus say that? Why would he turn around and say, love your enemy? This is hard. Why would he say, happy are those who are peacemakers? This is huge. Because Jesus, the God-man, knew this. You can't live life to its fullest with relational tension. You can live, but not to the fullest. You can't live life the way God intended to be lived when you have relational difficulty, bitterness, anger, resentment, revenge in your life because of what other people have done to you. He said, if you want to live life to the fullest, you've got to be a peacemaker. Do everything you can to live at peace with other people. If not, what happiness is, resentment builds up. And if you bury resentment and bottle it up and stuff it down in your life, it'll come out. And it may come out when you're young, but quite honestly, it may come out 10 years later. It may come out 10 years into your marriage. It may come out with a nasty division in your family. It could break up entire organizations. It can break up entire operations, even here on this island. It's because a lot of people are living with relational difficulties. And if they think they can go into another relationship, I know what'll happen. I'll start another relationship. That'll take care of it. And it never does. It doesn't work. God knew if you're going to live life to its fullest, you got to do everything you can to live in harmony with other people. If I took this Coke can right now, okay, and I just banged it up, okay, and I went nuts, Reed, okay, and I would open this right now in the second row as you're staring, I can see it. Okay? You know what would happen with this Coke can, all right? You understand what happened. It's ready to go right now. This thing is right. A really, really good analogy of our lives, okay? Really, the relationships and what's going on in our life. Our hurt tank just starts to fill right up. And our love tank just drains completely empty. Hey, Jeanette. And as that hurt tank fills up, the smallest thing, and it's usually something really insignificant, but painful. The smallest thing, just this little tab right here, the smallest comment somebody makes, and boom! All heck breaks out. You know what I'm talking about, right? Why? Because we didn't take the time to get rid of the hurt tank and fill the love tank, and it's out of whack. Love tank's empty, and it's just one more thing. It could be in marriage. It can be in a you know, single relationship you have with even personally your own realtor. Heard one this week. Maybe your landlord. Maybe at work among administration and other administrators. It could be, quite honestly, a brother or a sister in your family. Those are the hard ones. One thing that you say and it explodes. Just a great illustration of what's going on inside. We're just percolating, waiting for one thing to go happen. In this 30-minute message, I'm not going to be able to help all your problems. And I would really love to put on a Brady Bunch. And I would really love to see, oh, Greg just threw a football through the window. Tension. Commercial. Now it's solved. Let's all sing and dance together. Here's a story, right? It's not that way. It can happen in a 30-minute TV show, but not in my family, not in life. Life doesn't work like that, but I do know that if you're going to take this step, what I want to try to do is coach you, literally, and help you and show you what the Bible says. It starts with my own life. I have literally had to forgive some very hard situations in my life, and I'll get into this later, but I've had to be forgiven as well. God's Word is where we go. I have people that have been hurt, and I have trouble forgiving people, and they've been hurt by me. The healing process begins with the Word of God. Let's take some action steps. Let's do it. You want to go there? Okay. You have great notes. Thank you, Natalie, for this. Here they are, right here. Pull them out. Number one is reveal the hurt. Reveal it. You got to pull this thing back and look at it. I hate this, but that's the way it works. I've had students come to me at the end, especially football practice, when they're on the baseball field, which right now is just dead grass, and some of them are just falling all over baseball clay and everything, and they'll try to bandage something themselves, and they'll pull it off. I've never seen something so gross in my life. You got to reveal what's really there, and then you wipe it down, you clean it down, you wash it off. It's like, oh, it's not that bad. It's just all this stuff had formed. But you got to look at it. Admit you've been hurt by others and that you have hurt others. It starts there. You reveal it. Yes, I'm hurt. I said to you a lot of things like this. One-on-one. Someone met with me just last week, right after the wedding. Are you angry at her? I had to ask. And then I turned around and said, are you mad at your dad? Another situation. Really good time of conversation while people were here and we could talk. And you said, no. I love them. You can be angry and hurt people that you love. You reveal it. Pull it out. You admit that you've been hurt. If you don't reveal it, you're stuck with a bigger issue. It turns into two big words, and I hate them both, revenge and resentment. Both those things are powerful. Some of you look at this point, you say, reveal the hurt? No way! Are you serious? I want to revenge the hurt. Isn't that the first thing that happens when people have harmed you in some way? I had this happen to me back in the wintertime. Just some serious revenge that came up from someone. And it was misunderstood. It was very painful. We want revenge. You're in line at the grocery store. And just some person, some guy or girl, unknowingly, just steps right in front of you while you're in the checkout line. Just totally oblivious. Can anyone relate? Happened to me this morning when I bought that Coke, okay? Literally, right here at Vaughn's, just kind of cruising, just stepped right in front of me. I'm like, you know? And I don't need to say the word 405 freeway, do I? Okay? There's plenty there. You know what's happening? People are out living their life. You're thinking they're just dancing around. Nothing's wrong. Pain comes at you every day in unexpected ways, and it hits them too. All you have to do is think about how I can get back at that person. And all of a sudden, you're in a pile or a mess. I saw a story online about a goat that was out of control, literally harassing people. And this goat was loose. He was just butting everything he could. Every person that came by was unaware, and it went nuts. One person was critically injured because it over an 87-year-old lady over and over just was butting this person. Unreal. It's hard to imagine this. Random. I do have the GIF on this, but I don't know if we want to play it. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, what I've been saying in this series, though, is there's a goat in every corner. There's literally a goat in every corner. There's a goat around every corner of your life. Pain is everywhere. And guess what? If it's not happening right now, it's coming. It's coming. And if your first response is to revenge and to go after it, you're going to be in trouble. Revenge and resentment cannot change the past. Catch that? I wrote that in my Bible. And I got that at a boot camp. As the words, forgive and release. Forgive and release. And I realized, it can't change any of this. It cannot correct the problem. It does not change the person. It doesn't even hurt the person. It only hurts you. Avalon needs to hear this. I've never met anybody in my life, and 25 years I've been talking to people, various ages, that literally gets up and says, I feel much better because I'm filled with revenge. I'm filled with resentment towards all the people around me. And guess what? I'm really, really happy. No one does that. And in this little town, it will kill relationships. It will divide families. It'll divide churches. Amen? That's not fun to say from the pulpit. It will. You cannot harbor these things. The Bible says in Job 5, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Reveal the hurt. Yeah, that hurt me. That person hurt me. Be honest with it. Be specific. Yeah, that hurt me. When someone posted all that stuff on Instagram, that hurt me. That hurt me when, you know, my boss denied my vacation. That happened to me 3 years ago. Randomly just said no. And I was like, this is huge. An all-expense-paid trip is my anniversary. I held something there. And I had to literally speak into it almost 6 months later. But I was hurt when my parents split up. Or maybe I was hurt by my friend who dumped me when she got a boyfriend. Or maybe I was hurt when my boyfriend dumped me after we had sex. Or maybe, guess what? This. You've been hurt. But here's the flip side. That is that you've hurt other people too. And Jesus says this in Matthew 7. Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? This is some of his humor. It's not exactly that funny, is it? But you can imagine him. Don't you see this? Jesus is saying this. You're always pointing the finger at other people. Hey, look at the speck in your own eye, dude. You got a log in yours, smacks the guy. Jesus is pouring it on thick. Reveal the hurt. I am hurt. Don't be afraid to say that. That's the first part of healing. Number two, live God's model of forgiveness. He set this up. Technically speaking, I could sum it up with one word, Jesus. Just say how he navigated things is the way we need to navigate this. Amen? But if you break it down a little further, God's given us the model of forgiveness. And for some reason, Andrew Hobbs is trying to recreate it. Go ahead and put your name in there. I don't know why. If you took your woundedness, your brokenness, your bitterness, your anger, and you went to Maggie's and you sat booth with God and you knew everything and you knew what you thought to be right, but you decided to ask God what to do about it, you know what he'd say? I'm going to prescribe for you this. Forgiveness. Some of you are living the world's way. You need to be totally forgiven. Accept God's forgiveness of you. Start there. One of the mysteries of the Christian faith is that God forgives you when you confess, God, would you forgive me of this? Your motive. It's pure. It's right. God, I want to be forgiven. Restore me to you. Bring me back into your fellowship. This is really what a relationship with God is. God, I've blown it. I want to be forgiven. Would you wipe away this stuff? Would you make my slate clean? Great screenshot here, 1 John 1:9. It's just referenced in your notes, but if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is just. He'll forgive your sins, and he'll cleanse us. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Forgiveness is total. It's complete. It's instant. It's forever. And people who have been forgiven find it easier. to forgive others. That's the kicker. If you struggle to forgive others, it's oftentimes because of this very reason. What else about God's model? This one had to really hit me between the eyes. I offer it to you. How about forgiving yourself? Some of you need to forgive yourself. God's already forgiven you. How about you forgive you? What's that feel like? You're killing yourself. You can't get over it. Denial hits in, but it's followed by a lot of disqualification, resignation. I'll never measure up. I'm not as good as someone else. I can't do this. Who's telling you that? Where's that coming from? Take a wild guess. If you say, oh, my own thoughts. No, it's not. Your heart is good. You need to hear that. That is coming from the father of lies. And that disqualification, that disdainment, that shame, that resentment, man, that's just his tools. Those are his Chinese stars he's throwing right at you, and he's nailing them. Some of you need to forgive yourself. Then you need to forgive others. And this is the big one. Matthew 6, I wish I could leave this part of the Bible out. It'd make me feel a lot happier, and you too. But I can't, because this is what it says. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Catch that? I'm really sorry. Actually, I'm not. I need it. You need it. It's the truth. God's forgiveness of us is tied directly to our forgiveness of who? Others. You got it. And until you can learn to forgive, God holds his forgiveness back. You were hearing that this morning at 11:20. You do not want God to hold his forgiveness back. Nod your heads. No, I do not. I want forgiveness. You must offer it. And I literally wish it were different, but God wants us to live in harmony. God puts us together in these difficult situations to say, figure it out. I want you to have peace. A peace that passes all understanding. And if you can't forgive others, God's forgiveness isn't there. This is this interesting right here. And this one, my brother personally, my physical brother, struggled with this. Some of us need to forgive God. You don't really need to forgive God because God is perfect. He can't and doesn't sin, okay? His very nature is perfect holiness in every way. But God's perfect in his love and his mercy and his grace. But you're released from God, misplaced blame. Release that from him. Some of you blame God for your pain. 2 weeks ago, I talked to someone who was blaming God, a God they didn't even know. They don't even know him personally, but they're blaming him. How many people have said they were physically abused, sexually abused? How many have said, God, it's your fault? If you've had something awful happen to you like that, I've said it from here many times, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that has happened. And I would love to help you get healing, but it wasn't God's fault. It was not God's will that you were abused. It was not God's will. And when you really understand perfect love, God's love, it says this, I love you so much, I'm going to give you free choice. I'm not going to treat you like a puppet, like some God's big, great puppeteer up there and moves us through life and controls your every move. You've heard that before. He says, no, I love you so much, I'm giving you free choice. But there are a lot of people who choose the world's way. And if they do, their actions follow it. Their actions always follow the direction that they're headed. Their destination that they're headed for is revealed in their actions. You can see it right up front. They try to meet their needs and get their life filled in some other way. It's pathetic. It's perverted. And some of you need to release God from that misplaced blame. He is not responsible for that. He loves you. But you do need to remember the offense. Number three, remember the offense. This is why I challenge people to make a list. Write it down. Make a list of those you've harmed and those you've been hurt by. It's easier to make a list of those who have hurt you. True? True? Amen? Yeah, those who've hurt me, here's my list right here. A lot easier. But also make a list of those you've harmed. I owe amends to. That's a powerful word. I don't even use that one in our high school groups that I work with. Some of them would never get that word, especially junior hires. High schoolers struggle with it. They really don't have a definition for it. Young adults, I challenge you. Millennials, do you understand the word amends and how powerful it is? It means to put together, to bring peace. Literally, there is a change in your behavior. You not only say, I'm sorry, but you say, I'm going to change my behavior. I am apologizing and I'm going to make amends. I am going to change something. Are we together? It's huge. It's a powerful word. I want to make it right if I owe you anything. True amends says if I owe that person something, if I stole from them, I'd pay it back. If I hurt their reputation, I would do whatever it took to restore their reputation. I blew it, and I make amends by correcting the problem. Possibly, somebody in here says, I can't think of anything I've done to harm someone. Not recently, anyway. Let me trigger your memory. I'm good at that. Is there anyone you stole from? Anyone you broke a promise to? Anyone you're too critical of? Just judgmental. Anyone you verbally abused? Anyone you've been unfaithful to? Is there anybody you've lied to? Is there a cell phone you borrowed and returned it broken? I won't mention Dan and Monty's name. Remember the offense. What are you thinking here? Put the name in there. And then you need to forgive someone you have harmed. Take the time. Empty it out. It will lighten your load. It'll increase your years on this planet. It will make healthy and reconcile a marriage. It will bring together a friendship. Making amends is killer. It's the best thing. So from there we go to God's help. Number four, desire His help. It makes sense. This is what I can do. And guess what? At this point, this is what I need help with for sure. I do what I can and leave the rest up to who? God. Some of you in here, you've been checked out from the very beginning. Maybe somebody brought you here, invited you here. You're struggling right now. I don't know what it could be, but I'm thankful you made it. But you're saying something too tough. I can't forgive that person. This is too tough for me. You have no idea what they said to me. I realize you've checked out. But at this point, God's help is necessary. And pray for a willing heart. Just I want to would work. And courage over fear to make amends with those you've hurt and offer forgiveness to those who have hurt you. Just a little help, a little something. Start with something small. If God's already forgiven me, why do I need to bring this up again? I mean, Hobbes, why drag up the past? Because making amends isn't about your past. It's about your what? Your future. And living with peace, offering forgiveness to those who've hurt you. God, will you help me forgive that person? Some of you need to immediately come to grips with that answer. And some are immediately saying, no way, I can't. A few years ago, in Northern California, a man got into a fender bender with an elderly lady. She cut him off. They pulled off the road because he basically forced her off the road. She rolled her window down, and he started chewing her out. He was just letting her have it. And he noticed she had a little dog, which was named Leo, little dog on her lap. He reached in, grabbed the dog, and threw it out in traffic where it was killed. True story. And I mean, then he took off to add insult to injury. And literally, there was a $40,000 reward for the capture of the dog killer. This thing went viral. And let me say, this lady, if she was sitting here right now, and she were here next to you, Reed, and hearing this message, and hearing what I'm saying, you need healing. You've got to forgive. She's saying, are you serious? You don't even like dogs, Hobbs. And I do. It's easy for you to say, this is too fresh. It's too real. It just happened. It's too painful. And here's the problem. Unfortunately, some of us in here are too concerned about the dog right now than you are about your own life. Some of you are more concerned about the little dog than the healing of your whole life. But this lady, if at some point in her life doesn't stop and forgive this guy and release this anger and her hurt and her bitterness, it's going to do to her what happened to her little dog. It's going to kill her. It's going to kill me. Every time she sees a dog, she's going to think of little Leo, and that anger is just going to come up again. And every time she sees a fender bender, the anger is going to come up. At some point, she's got to give that guy up. She's got to let it go. And it's not going to be easy. That's where she's going to have to say, God, help me. Jesus, catch my heart. Catch my heart. Doesn't mean you're not going to be triggered. It means at that point, what do you do with that hurt? How do you implement it? I've forgiven him, and I'm being triggered again. God, catch my heart. And for those of you who have been molested, something major. Statistics tell us 1 in every 5 boys and 3 of every 5 girls has been. There's some deep pain there. Very deep pain. Don't take this lightly, like this is an easy thing to do. You've got to request God's help. God has a goal for your health. Romans 12 is where it's found. Great verse. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do your part to live at peace with everyone as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. Instead, do what the scripture says. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. They will be ashamed of what they've done to you. Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing what? Good. That's where it's found. If you want to get over that relational hurdle, you've got to request God's help. I finish with this. He wants to restore the past. Catch that? I put this in there because I believe in restoration of the past. I believe there. I have gone there. I watched my wife go through it a couple of boot camps ago, captivating retreats. She came home, and there was reconciliation in her heart with Jesus and some things that had happened in her personal life and upbringing and some things that were restored. And just recently, my father-in-law, attended the wedding. And before he came, he wrote a very kind letter, very kind remarks, encouraging her and also affirming her in a lot of different ways. She never saw that coming, but restoration occurred from the past. You've got to deal with the past so God can transform the present. Go make amends to the people that you've hurt. Direct, face-to-face if you need to. Say to them, I ask for your forgiveness for, list it. And for anything else I may have done to you through my words, my actions. I was, and take responsibility for it, angry when I hurt you. I'm sorry, and I'm trying to change. That is amends, direct amends, face-to-face, indirect amends. In my case, I've got some folks that are long distance away. Maybe it's a distance thing and you can't get to that person. Okay? Write a letter. It's risky. It takes courage. Heard this at a conference a year ago. A courageous conversation. Courage for you to say it. Courage for them to receive it. Write that letter. The exception to face-to-face is when it's going to harm them. If you've done something so harmful to them. But take responsibility. No blaming, like, I did this because you did this to me, or my parents were alcoholics. You have no idea justifying that.
No, take responsibility for it. Don't blame. Then offer forgiveness to those that have hurt you. The Bible says, a great story in Peter was just, how often are we supposed to forgive? I mean, what, 7 times? He thought he was being very gracious to Jesus, and he says, no, how about 7 times 70? Just lays it out there for him, found in Matthew 18. Jesus' point was, you've got to continually forgive people. It just doesn't stop. It doesn't. You got to stop holding on to that hurt. Some of you don't wait for people to come up and ask for your forgiveness. Do whether or not it's going to happen. Do it. Just go for it. Your forgiving them is not for their sake, but for your sake. Why? Because God has forgiven you. And you're going to need forgiveness in the future. Because resentment doesn't work. It just makes you miserable. Release the offender. Forgive them for your sake. I'd keep the expectations minimal. When you say to someone, I forgive you, it doesn't mean you have to do this face to face. It doesn't mean you have to be friends with them and have to go out to dinner again. It just clears the air. And some of you may want to do it and practice with an empty chair. And I had to do this. I'm just offering it. But an empty chair. And practice what you're going to say. Because you know that if you're in the presence of this person, something gets worked up in you. And it's hard. Maybe you rehearse it. Write them a letter. Release them so you can be released. Either way, when you've forgiven them, you're not saying that what they did is okay. You're doing this to free the pain from you. For lack of a better word, you become a freedom fighter. I want this for you, but dude, I'm doing this because I got to let go of this. I need this freedom. Romans 13. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. Never. If you want to be like Christ, forgive. That's the greatest act of love. Upon doing that, you experience His peace. You can't have it without it. So get it. Forgive and experience God's peace. God wants you and I to live in peace all the time. It's always a reminder of the pain that's in our life. Write them down. Pray over them. Release them. Watch it walk away. God wants you to have peace. I told you that, you know, this is not like a 30-minute sitcom where we stir up the pain and it's resolved and it's all done. Jesus said this, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't the peace like the world gives at all. Don't be troubled or afraid. And I realize in here, there might be some stuff you want to talk about. I'll do my best. And I care. I'd love to hear from you. Take your time. Let's talk about it. If you have a small group leader, get with them. Someone that you can trust in your small group that seems to bring encouragement your way. It doesn't rub off any other way, but you walk away encouraged. That's the person to talk to. If you need somebody to talk, there's a lot of people in here that want to talk to you. They care about you. I remember as a young man, I gave up my youth group. I loved them right up till about age 16. And it wasn't because I was too old to like youth group. I actually got to serve in this place. The guy and I were really close friends. And then one night, my dad shared with me that his job was going to change. And as a result, I was going to have to leave my high school. And I'd actually been at that school, kindergarten through 11th grade. And for my senior year, I was going to be unplugged into another school with total strangers. And this was everything I knew here. And it shocked me inside. And I was boiling. I didn't know how to handle it, but I knew I could talk to this guy, my youth leader. So after youth group, I was putting the balls and cones away and stuff like that. And I went up to him and I said, hey, Ronnie, I got to chat with you. It's pretty serious. It's about stuff my dad was telling me. And I just don't know how to handle it. I need somebody to talk to. He goes, you know I care and you know I want to listen. But I have 18 little white-haired old ladies in the choir loft right now that are waiting for me to do choir practice. And if I don't get in there, we're not going to have any music for Sunday morning. So I have to give you a rain check. That was all I needed. Because this was filling up. And my love tank was empty. I didn't have a check and balance going. And it was one more thing. And I left youth group as a result of what was said. And since that time, I've had to carry that. Imagine carrying these two chairs, all right? I busted it bringing them in here. I mean, these things are heavy, especially this guy right here. And I carried that, and I carried that, and I carried that. He moved to Virginia. He left that job. I went about my life, never forgot about it. But I was hurt because I felt like no one was there for me. And as a result, I can't talk to anyone. I can't trust anyone in church. I don't want to be around ministry. I mean, it just went, the resentment took it in other directions. I finally realized where this was going and what it was doing to me and how painful it was. And I found the guy in Virginia. I did everything possible. I didn't write a letter, but I made a phone call. And I said, "Hey, Ronnie Lambright." I said, "Hey, Ronnie, I just want to say I'm sorry. I know this sounds weird. Let me finish. But I have carried something against you, and as a result, God has not been able to fully bring life into my soul and my spirit as a result of this junk. But do you remember back in the day when I came to you after youth group, and he barely even remembered it, which almost took me to another direction right there in the conversation. But I finished what I had to say. And there was a long pause, and it was uncomfortable, but I felt like I said it. I knew he was on the other line, and he said, "I'm sorry also." And I heard the words. He said, I was a part-time youth pastor, part-time music leader, and you got to be one or the other. And I should have prioritized things better. He gave me his excuse, but he also said he was sorry. And that night, if he could go back, he would change it. It worked. It was a shot in the dark. Very realistic, very true, and it happened just that way. And I powerfully tell you these statements out of personal story. Most of them successful. I still have a few that are out there that are unsuccessful. And things that I'm working on that, quite honestly, still need work. That's my relationship with God. That's discipleship. That's applying God's word to my life. He's bringing things to the surface. And so one last thought. You'll never have to forgive anyone more than God has to forgive you. It's a very powerful reminder that God is constantly having to forgive us, and we need to constantly be looking as to how we can forgive others. And I mean, do it today. Start fresh. There are so many different things in our technological world to help you get reacquainted. Start with a reacquaintment with God. You've got to do business with Him. He'll direct your steps. Let's pray. Our worship team can come up. God, thank you for today. I know that there's pain in here. When we can't forgive others or ask for forgiveness, we have the relational hurdle. It just keeps us from living life to the fullest. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of it in my life. I'm sick of it in my friends' lives. I'm sick of it in our community. I'm sick of it in my family and the generations below me. Would you give us the courage to ask for forgiveness from people we've hurt? Forgive those who have hurt us. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love. That you'll be with us every step of the way. Bring encouragement to those who are hearing from your Spirit right now. And it's a tall order. And they're a little blown away, but they just need your courage. It comes from you. The provision, what to do, what it looks like next, comes from you. And they got this. It will change their world. Forgive and release them to God. And if you're convicted of something, ask for forgiveness. Risk it. It's so worth it. God, thank you for the standard that was set in your word and for the way your own son navigated this all the way to the cross to say the words, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing." Even as they were killing you. We leave this with you, but only to the effect that you will stir it up and do something powerful in our life. Not leave it under the mat. Begin the refining process. In Jesus' name, amen.